For some of you that have faster brains, you can actually speed it up. So there's a little button here you press.
No extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. Leave that town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them.
There's a few of you that can take that.
Village proclaiming good news and healing people everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard about all that was going on. And he was perplexed because some were saying that John had been raised from the dead. Others that...
I know my brother Matthias, I think he could listen to it in double speed. That's really blessed me, though. I can get in the morning during normally downtime, you're getting dressed and you're showering. Large volumes of the word, and you can soak it in and you can hear and it's playing in the background, so... That's been a huge blessing. So I wanted to share John 10. We have no Ryan. That's okay. John 10 and verse 7, the Lord Jesus is speaking, and he says, Therefore Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life, and they may have it to the full. And he says in another spot, my sheep hear my voice, the voice of another they will not follow. And so I was just thinking and meditating on that this morning of opening up for a few people to share before we have testimony time. There's going to be... a word shared, and Brother Rob is going to share his testimony. But before he does that, I'm just going to give a couple of opportunities to just share what the Good Shepherd has spoken into your ear that has taken place. For me, five or maybe this is the sixth weekend ago, for many of you who don't know, I'm going through a major ordeal in my life, and I'm in the process of selling a lot of my stuff. And so 5-6 weeks ago, I just, during a time of frustration, I sold a bunch of stuff on Kijiji, and I walked in, and I said, Lord, now what? And I heard him say, sell it all. And that's a really powerful thing for me, because I from my whole walk, I've always believed there would be a day come when he would say, sell all your stuff, and I just didn't think that would be so quick. But the last 5 weeks have been amazing. As soon as I heard him say that, then the power came in, and I started uploading ads, ended up with 48 ads on Kijiji, and I've just had people coming from all over the place. The Lord has just been blessing that word that he spoke, and stuff has been selling like amazing. Just, yeah, I could go on and on of just the different things that have happened there. So that's a little thing that's happened in my life. Quick book recommendation, besides the Word of God. Have anyone read this? It's called Keep Your Love On. It's a, we've got one at least, yeah. I got introduced to it through a time this past summer when I was traveling in California area. Anyway, Keep Your Love On. It's on connection, communication, boundaries, learning how to communicate with our brothers and sisters, and even in conflict, doing it well and keeping our love on even when we don't agree. And so definitely would recommend that. If I had 5 copies, I'd be passing them out, but... that'll be for another time. So anyone else that has heard the voice of the Lord lately that feels they want to testify and share it here in the congregation this morning, we have a mic at the back. Jeff's saying, no, not me. Iris has a testimony. Colleen? Just a sec, Iris. Can you hold? Let's start.
Hi. Just this morning when we were in praise and worship, the Lord just said, tell my people. I said, what do you want me to tell them? He says, tell them that I love them. And that I love them unconditionally. So there's nothing that you have to do to earn his love. Okay? I just believe somebody needs to know that today, that he loves you unconditionally. Right? He also said Psalms 23, verse 16. I said, there is no 16. He said, just read it. I said, okay. And I often get confused. It's verses 1 to 6. Right? There's 6 verses in Psalms 23. I said, okay. I said, well, what about that? He said, remind them that surely goodness and mercy shall follow them all the days of their lives. I said, oh, I remember that. And I remember he gave me that verse one day when I was in the laundry room. He says, you need to know that there's 2 ladies that are stalking you. I said, what? He said, there's a couple that are stalking you. I said, who are they? He says, goodness and mercy. I said, so he does have a sense of humor. So just keep your ears open and listen to the Lord.
That's good. Thank you. Praise the Lord.
Good morning. The Lord is speaking to me, and I'm opening my heart to hear him, and it's amazing. This is for the people who are depressed. These are for the people who are in mourning, and the person that I wanted, that needed to hear it the most, she's not here. But however, and the Beatitudes, he says, blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's so amazing, because the kingdom of heaven is within, right? And that just spoke to my spirit, and it just broke that depression that was in there that had followed me all these years. I'm blessed because I was poor in spirit. And then also blessed are those who mourn, because I had been mourning my loss of myself since birth. And now I know who I am, and I am blessed because I had mourned. I had mourned for so long, mourning that I was not good enough, that the world didn't like who I was, I thought, you know. But I'm blessed, and no more mourning. My mourning has turned into joy. Hallelujah!
Amen. Somebody else that you've heard the voice of the Lord recently.
Last week, we've came together every night, and we've prayed here, and it was really, really, really good. God's presence was there every night, and one of these nights, I just got hit by how good God is, just His goodness, and I was just crying. And the last month, I've been feeling a little depressed, but Jesus doesn't always directly, like the first day that you're depressed, He doesn't show up, but then like a couple of weeks later, He's just there, and he comforts you, and He says, Matt, I have everything in my hands. You're on the right path. Your church is on the right path. Keep doing what you're doing. Everything is under control. You don't have to worry about one thing. And that's just what God tells me, and that I still feel a tiny bit depressed, but a lot of it is gone now, because I trust Jesus. I know that what He says is true. Amen.
We paused you last weekend.
So in Isaiah 40, starts at 29, he says, He gives power to the faint and to them that have no might. He increases strength. Even the young shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And they shall mount up with wings as eagles. And they shall run, and they will not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. So, last few years, I've been dealing with a lot of sickness. And God has healed me. I was having stomach issues. Those are completely gone. They want to remove my gallbladder, but they're not going to, because that's healed too. I went to the doctor a few weeks ago. They did, as many of you know, that I deal with diabetes type 2. They took my 4-month span to see where my sugar levels were at. Doctor came in the room. His mouth was on the floor. He was dragging. He says, it doesn't even look like you have diabetes anymore. So, so what God has shown me is that I haven't been taking any of my meds. Why? You know what? If God has got everything under control, why do I need to take them? I'm not telling you to go off your meds. That's not what I'm telling you. But I know what God has spoken to me. It's been over a year since I've been on any antidepressant medication. You know, God is really working in my life. I had such a dry well for the last couple of years because of a sin that I did, and I had to admit it. And God told me, you're going to walk through a very dry place. And I did for 2 years. And the last few months, he is just, all of a sudden, the healing has come and those boulders have been removed. And I am just being filled and filled and filled. And I'm not afraid to tell people. I'm not afraid to tell people, you know, God tells me to say something, I'm going to say it. Why? Because God uses us to reach the world. He's given me such a heart for people. He loves his people, and he wants us to just love others. It's not easy. I'm human, just like everybody else, and yes, we sin. But when we get on our hands and knees and we ask for forgiveness, God still fills us. God is there. He loves us so much, and that's what God has been showing me, is just he loves us so much. And sometimes our actions don't always betray what they should, but we're human, and we have to say sorry, pick up our feet, and keep on going. If that person can't forgive you, you just pray for them and bless them. That's all you can do. And I just thank God that he's given me the strength. He's mounting us up on wings as eagles, and that's what he wants to do for this church. He wants us to just rise up and be the church that he wants us to be the people he wants us to be. And we're going to see this city won for him. We really do. So keep praising him.
Amen. God likes things in order, and Samantha just kind of testified to some of the stuff that was on my heart, so I know that's why she went first. That's good. Praise God. Wow, it's the living water, right? It's flowing in you now, right? There's no dry and weary desert no more, right? When I first came to Kelowna, from Kelowna to Red Deer, the word was overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. And that's what we do here every week. I love it, right? God started to speak to me about he's making room in people's lives, in their hearts. He's going to take away the hard parts of their hearts. He's going to take the sin out of their lives, just like Samantha just testified to. And he's going to make room for more of him, more of his presence, more of his living water. He said, I'm going to do this, Kelly, in this church. Ricky had a stroke shortly thereafter. It shocked me, right? I can only imagine how it shocked you. I don't know this church as well. I don't know, but I know she's faithful and she's here and she's doing the work and she's been doing it a long time. But God's making room in her. And then during the week of prayer, he said to me, it's the same thing now for the whole church. She was a little forerunner to what was going to happen here and what we're seeing happening here, right? God's dealing with our sin. He's dealing with our sin nature. He's going to be the overcomer for us. Right, the Holy Spirit's going to overcome, and we're going to be full of the Holy Spirit and God. He's going to fill this church. He's going to fill it. So just deal with it. Go to your closet and deal with what you got to deal with. And he's going to make the room. He's going to take away the parts of the heart that have gone hard, and he's going to give you that heart of flesh, and it's going to be like growing. Your heart is going to feel like it's expanding, and God's going to be stretching it so he can indwell you in greater ways. So be blessed with that.
Praise the Lord.
Anyone else? I feel like an auctioneer. Brother Rob? Which one do you want? Amen. Amen. There was one more. So Brother Rob's going to testify. Many of you do know him, many of you do not. And so I just ask for your patience, and he's going to share what the Lord has on his heart.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are. Okay, praise the Lord.
Hi. Good morning. Thank you. I accept that. And I'm learning to agree with it. Yeah, perhaps there's feedback somewhere. I'm more comfortable with the older technology anyway. I have a hard time with surrender. I have a hard time with... I have a hard time anyway. I'm going to make a confession. I'm just a man. And not a just man. Men know what I'm talking about. Hallelujah, he still loves me. And yeah, I'm amazed. I'm amazed. I'm floored all the time. It doesn't take much before I'm praising God. And sometimes the days are long. Sometimes they're very fast. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your grace, and your mercy. All of it's from you, and it's poured out for us, if we could only accept it. Thank you, Lord, for what you give to me. Hallelujah. Amen. Pardon me. Pardon moi. It's not Cree, it's not French, it's not even Métis. It came as a victory cry, a war cry, really, against death, against disaster, disturbance, and disease, and really everything brain injury is. And I'm going to discuss brain injury because that's what I am. I'm a survivor. It's a very hard place to be. And the loss is devastating. The freshness of an injury like that, I'll get into it, I guess, start at the beginning. 1999, it was like 10 o'clock, I took the bus home. I had my laundry, I was just leaving work. I got to my stop, and I didn't make it to the other side of the road. A newer sunbird just wiped me off the road and threw me in the ditch. And thank God I didn't hit the rock that was there or the stumps of trees that were all sharpened up. Beavers do that, eh? The EMT that that came to the scene, thankfully he stopped and he called an ambulance, and he had insurance. It was her first night at work. And back in high school, that was a long time ago, but she had a crush on me. I never knew this, and I thought she was only being mean. I'm learning not to take it as it sounds or seems, just to let it go, and if it comes back, it comes back. Yeah, I'm wrong. This all occurred back in Nova Scotia. I'm an Eastern transplant from Halifax, Nova Scotia. I miss the ocean. I'm very marine and involved, and it has a hold. And I tried to go back the other year, not long ago, but I didn't quite make it. I got halfway back. And the Lord stopped me, rode off my car. I rode off my car, the Lord stopped me, and didn't hurt anybody or anybody else. Yeah, praise the Lord. It took me a long time to come back. Kind of like when I get something in my head, a destination I want. I have a hard time letting that go, too. Yeah, so I'm part Cree, part French. I was raised in an English home, adopted by an English man. Hallelujah. God had his hand, and he can controlled my life all the way from the beginning. I give credit where credit's due. The Brain Injury Association of Nova Scotia, they work wonders and really miracles with the different clientele that they they have to hold and basically pull all the way up wherever to the next step anyway. Where was I? My life, yeah, in Nova Scotia, it was a little bit better. So my father, my dad, the man who adopted me, he raised me. He had a strong hand, but he was very physical, and he taught by example. He didn't have too much to say, so I didn't really learn a whole lot. I'm more a listener. I'm a visual person, but I'm more a listener. At least I am now. There was so much I wouldn't listen to. And he learned not to ask me anything. When I was only young, like I came to church, and it was really Bible school that took my heart, and the songs and the glory to God. Yes, Lord, we give you glory, honor, and praise. And it's only his power that keeps me going. Minor difficulties, technicalities, and all the Lord help me. So my dad sent my mother away and they divorced. I was probably 12. This is after I learned about love and took Christ and as my savior, and I got baptized, and I really gave everything, and I wanted my family to survive, and I don't think it was in God's will. It's hard to be thankful for some things that happen, but Dad wouldn't give Mom a divorce. So she had to leave for that year that has to elapse before and a union can be annulled, which occurred, and she lived in Northwest Territories. I was extremely upset, and and my father sent my mother away, and I would make him pay. And I became rebellious, and I've had a hard time listening, and not so much listening, but obeying. And it's not just a male thing. Many women will tell you that. Well, after the years passed, decades really, I fell away. I didn't really come back to church until I learned what women were about. Well, I thought I was learning what women were about. So I took my fiancée to church, and everything. Everything happens for a reason, and things that don't happen have the same reason, and it's hard to be thankful. Everything happens for a reason. The brain injury, like, I got disconnected there. Yeah, so I fell away from church again, and I was operating in my ideas alone. I became scientific. I had no real emotion. I couldn't trust emotions, so everything had to be reason and fact. Rhyme and reason just went out the window. I became more comfortable with the machines. Machines that didn't talk. Machines that did operations and did what they were told. Basically, A equals B. And after a while, I became mathematical in my thoughts. I was cold, I was calculated. And I didn't really have care for I cared for creation, but I didn't really care for how it operated or what was in it. I was more a straight line person. I couldn't see the forest for the trees. I didn't appreciate the curves and the levels of tides or the moon that directs them. I'm a Native man. I was out of my element, and my Mi'kmaq brothers didn't really like me. Their girls did. But that just made them dislike me more. So I couldn't go to the reserves. They have more than a few. So I never fit in anywhere. Nobody really relates scientifically. Not a lot of people. There are people who understand square roots and ratios and underlines and all the fractional and that's just who it was. I was basically a robot, a Robert robot. And my heart, I had a heart, but it was stainless steel. Yeah. And it didn't break. It was cold. But that was safe for me. I had all these mental processes that were deep and ingrained and couldn't be moved until the Lord shook things up. But he saved me while he did that. And yeah, in the hospital I lasted for a coma. The hospitalization began with a coma experience that lasted 2 weeks. Hard times. My stay in there was 6 months. The wake up was slow. I woke up. It wasn't me that woke me up. Thank you, Lord. I didn't wake myself up. I didn't. Sure, I had to go through every step of the way, and I had to push every button that brought elevators by. But I didn't wake myself up. It wasn't. I know, like, it's my choice and my decisions, and he works through me. He works through me. And he keeps me going. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, that was like 16 years ago. I had a coma and brain injury, brain damage. The right part of my body was all the muscles that were controlled by my brain atrophied because the control wasn't there. So I felt like half a man dragging the other half around. This is only after I got out of the hospital bed. The bed's like a crib. The walker's like a walker. The wheelchair is like a stroller. People are pushing you around. And, well, I got out of there as fast as I could. It was 6 months by the time I got to the Nova Scotia Rehabilitation Center. And that experience lasted years because I was only inside for the summer, 6 more months. It was October by the time I got out, just before Christmas. And 99 was quickly passing. Christmas time, I learned to walk again. But I was eating pizza and not really doing a whole lot. So I was just getting bigger and bigger until I seen myself in my reflection on the wall. Ugh. I have a poor self-image, but when I can see it, and it looks worse than I thought it did. This is also like when the year 2000 broke and the world was awash and fireworks celebrations. It was beautiful. I had my aunt, it was her house, and I had my cousins. I had life again, and it was good to get home. Nothing smelled like home. No hospital was anywhere. I mean, it's all sterile, and the more sterile we make our environment, the worse our diseases are. Yeah, there's life in the Lord and in His creation. And I loved His creation, and I tried to... Well, I used to love camping. So after the sleet storms hit in February, everything was beautiful. Like, all the whole forest looked like it was wearing jewels. So I had to get out, and I started going out on a camper trip. But I forgot, all my packing, this is in my head, I packed all my stuff in the bag I wanted, but I left behind a can opener. So we left that morning. A friend of mine walked out, and our kids, they walked with me to the campsite at the river I went to. Yeah, lunchtime came, and I unpacked, and I thought we'd have a great lunch. But I had a lazy knife, so I couldn't open them that way. And I didn't have a can opener. Tell you, that was one of the first times I got angry. Can't do anything. Anger doesn't do anything. God can work through my anger. But it doesn't really do anything for me. I have to do something about it. So I had to learn, when I got home, by the time I slept inside it all the way home, I was good and hungry. It turned out Dad had, Aunt Shirley had cancer. She passed away. Lung cancer. Yeah, cancer is a killer. That was way back in probably 2002. No, probably 2001. And then my dad was diagnosed with cancer. I still have cousins in Cape Breton. My dad came out here. He went through his chemotherapy, and he used to always take his chemotherapy and pray. I could see him. He'd be praying. He wouldn't be saying anything. He'd just move in his mouth and eyes up. And then he'd always been teasing the nurses. Giving thanks and To me, that's a demonstration of strength. When you can care about other people more than you can care about yourself. And without having to have a return. So then Dad took my sister was down and they took a plane back to Alberta. He got to see his grandchildren before he passed. I can remember praying. I didn't really know what to pray. I was just praying for him, his goodness, his journey, and his. Mom told me later how when the grandkids went to visit him in the hospital, he lasted probably 3 months. But he was in the hospital and the grandkids came by and they visited him. And Mom introduced, "This is your grandpa." And Allison was still really young, baby. She didn't have words. But Anthony was calling Papa. And whenever you have something physical like that you're dealing with, there's not always a lot of time or energy. And Dad's attention was passing, so Mom knew that, and Mama got the grandkids ready and said, "Okay, say goodbye to Grandpa." Anthony's saying, "Bye, Papa." It's like they had come to terms, and he left with peace. And cancer's taken everyone I loved or cared about. Mom passed with cancer probably 5 years ago. Probably 4 years ago. My mother, I got to know her again, praise the Lord. And I got to learn how to please women, not to take them off all the time. I'm still dealing with that. And yeah, I guess I have mother issues because I miss her. And the Lord still works with me. I still make mistakes and I fall flat on my face, and it's not always painful, but it's painful sometimes. He picks me up, he dusts me off. And sometimes he puts me in the same place, sometimes he lifts me higher. And it's amazing, really. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, my family, my relationships, work life is a different story. I mean, there's success and failure in all of them. And I'm just getting back to work again. After 7 years, I went back to Sobeys. Well, I went back to work, and I was at Sobeys in the south end of the town here. And I was right up front, and, working courtesy. I really enjoyed it because it was people and mothers and their children. They do the most of the grocery shopping. And yeah, I could keep the children occupied while their mothers are working with the money. And all I have to do with the kids is be loud, and it takes their attention, makes them stop crying. If I, hey, and they don't look at me, ooh, what? It's always good to get a smile. And it makes mom happy because she can not have anything to worry about in that regard. And yeah, I'm usually late. Late anyway. I had everything outlined and pinpointed and different things I would say and Bible that I would betray and pass out. Cast all your cares, all my cares on the Lord, because He cares for me. The song, the worship song this morning, I have a maker, my creator. Yeah, so like, I can cry, and I do. They're not quiet cries. So, like, we have an enemy. I have an enemy that he's already been defeated. He likes to twist and turn and shake things up. Things will be shaken up. We can rise above that. And in Him, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Thank you. Good job. Praise the Lord. Brother Pauline. Do you want up there? Yeah, go ahead.
To share with you today without much ado is about the glory of God. I think everybody needs to understand this as a believer because it is very central to our life as a believer. Without the proper understanding of the glory of God, you won't understand the purpose of your life. You all know why you are here on this earth. You lose the goals or the purpose of your life without knowing the glory of God. If you have ever read the Westminster Small Catechism, there is one statement that says there, the chief and of man is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. So we need again to know why we have our existence here on this earth, why God created us. You and I are not here just to take up space. You and I here is not for the purpose of just having a good time or having fun. But according to that statement in Westminster Catechism, the purpose of our life here is to bring glory to God. So let us pray. Father God, I ask you that you may speak to our hearts today through your words. Your words is truth and life and power. And please come with your glory. Manifest yourself among your people today, Lord. You love them so dearly to the point that you send your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for each one of them. So we praise you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me read to you a context from the Old Testament, the book of Isaiah. There's a passage in chapter 6 about the glory. Only one word that I'd like to bring home today, the glory of God. Glory of God. I hope you can bring it home. It can change your perspective of this life. So let me read a few verses from Isaiah chapter 6. This is about Isaiah's commission. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on the throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Historically, King Uzziah is a very good king. During his reign, the people prospered. But because of that, there is pride in his heart. As long as you have pride in your life, you cannot see the Lord. That's why this verse says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on the throne. Your King Uzziah have to die first before you are able to see the Lord seated on his throne with all his majesty and glory. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings, they covered their faces. With two, they covered their feet. And with two, they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I'm ruined. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, and he had taken with tongues from the altar. And it touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." That's the context of seeing God's glory. So again, let me say, the purpose of our life is to glorify God. We are created, we are born for the glory of God. In other words, we are made for God's glory. And it is a gift. If you are willing, you can receive that. Receive that through the hands of faith. It's a gift to mankind. Mankind here means mankind before he fell into sin. Remember when the first man and the first woman live in the Garden of Eden, they live in the state of glory. So glorious the state in the Garden of Eden was that God could talk to them and walk in the cool of the day every day. And you as believers, the glory of God is your inheritance. So we need to enter into God's glory. We need to dwell in His presence of glory. We need to experience His divine power in that glory. And the power of glory is the one that transforms life. It's not the doctrine. It's not the dogma. It's not the teaching. But the glory of God is the one that can transform life. Transform life means it can save, it can heal, it can deliver, and it can enact miracles and wonders. As a matter of fact, the glory of God reveals His majesty. But sad to say, today many Christians, many people are not living in that glory. Whereas Jesus has prayed, if you read John chapter 17, that's the chapter about Jesus' prayer. One of the verses in that chapter, that is verses 22, Jesus' prayer is for us and for all believers to live in that glory. That is the yearning, that is the desire of Jesus' heart, that His people may live in God's glory. The same glory that the Father has given to Jesus is the same glory that Jesus is giving to every believer. The question now is, how can we live in that glory? How can we experience God's glory? Well, God's glory is not a theological concept. It is not an ethereal thing. It is not a mystical thing. But God's glory is a reality to be experienced by every believer. That's good news today. And God's glory is not a thing of the past. It's not like at one point in the history of the people of Israel, when God's glory left them and the state was called Ichabod, but after Jesus died on the cross and raised from the dead and seated in the heavenlies in the right hand of the Father, and He sends the Holy Spirit to live among believers, this is a reality that God's glory needs to be present in the life of every believer. And it is now, and it is for this generation. If you talk about miracles, brothers and sisters, miracles will take place in the atmosphere of glory. If the atmosphere of glory is saturating a meeting, miracles will easily happen. And if the glory comes, it can do beyond what the science or technology can do. We are grateful for science, grateful for technology, grateful for doctors or nurses. But let's remember, there is limit to what they can do. But the glory of God can go beyond that. So again, let me talk again about the glory of God. The glory of God is the essence of everything about God. The essence means the weight of God. If you go back to the root word in Hebrew, they call it kabod. In the Old Testament or in the New Testament, they call it doxa. All mean the same thing. It means the splendor, the weight, the abundance, the honor, the glory, the power, the wealth, everything, the majesty, everything. So, brothers and sisters, today, enter into your inheritance to the glory of God. Because the glory of God is the essence of everything about God. It's everything that is about Him. If God reveals His glory, that means eternity revealed on earth, on this present time, in the now. And if it is done by God, you see God in action with your physical eyes. You see God in action in the natural. In a few months from now, we'll be celebrating. Well, it is already November. And December, we'll celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the exact and the full representation of the glory of the Father. So if you have received Jesus as your Lord, as your personal Savior, you are supposed to live in God's glory. But as long as you are still in your sin, you don't leave your past behind, you don't go to the glory of God, something is hindering you to see the glory of God, just like Isaiah saw. Something was hindering his vision, his eyes, his life. He was not experiencing the glory of God. So until King Isaiah dies, from each of our lives here today, we'll not be able to live and to see or to experience the glory of God. I've said to you that Jesus is the exact representation of the glory of God. But glory of God also is manifested at creation. As a matter of fact, if you remember in chapter 19 of the book of Psalm, it says that the heavens and the firmament declare the glory of God. Before there was a pastor, before there was an evangelist, there was already an evangelist. The heavens, the skies, starry skies, beautiful oceans, beautiful mountain peaks, if you see them with wonder, in fact, they continuously speak about the glory of God. So again, let me say that God's glory is not something material, but it is more on the spiritual side, atmosphere of heaven. Like air is the physical atmosphere of earth. And where glory is, there is completeness. It's a fact. And that's the truth. Completeness means many of us lack many things. We lack health, we lack healing, we lack energy, we lack power. But where glory is, there is completeness. Just as I mentioned earlier, when first man live in glory, he lived in completeness. He doesn't have to start from a baby, and then adolescent, and adult. Have you ever read about the creation of man and wondered whether Adam, when he was first created, that he was crawling first when God created him? No. He lived in God's glory. God created him in glory. God purposed him to live in glory. And when God created him in glory, you're as complete. Today you may lack many, many things. So invite the presence of the Holy Spirit, which is the vehicle for that glory to come into your life. And then you'll experience the fullness of God, the completeness of what God has planned for each one of us. I know I have a limited time to speak. I'll try to finish on time, Brother Chan. Thank you. So let's remember that this glory of God is not just a divine energy, no. It's not a force floating in the sky, no. It's not something which is mystical. It is a reality. And let's remember that God's glory is God's character. It is His divine nature. It is all His attributes, which is all loving, all present, all powerful, all forgiving, all blessing. What else do you need? So if Jesus is the perfect revelation or manifestation of God's glory, you better receive Him well into your heart today if you have not done so. And you will enjoy life. You will enjoy God. We are grateful for the blessing that God has given us in this life, in the material form, in the financial form, but they do not satisfy. Only God can satisfy. There is a vacuum on purpose created by God in every man and every woman's life that cannot be filled by the things of the world, which can only be filled by God, by His glory. And only if you receive that, you will experience the completeness in your life. Amen. And if God's glory touches your life, and if God's glory or the true weighty presence of God is being released in your life, or if God's kabod is released in your life, that means His brilliance, His splendor, His abundance, His riches, His honor, His presence is residing in your life. I read in the Old Testament and also in the New Testament the style or the way this glory was manifested. One of this in the book of Exodus, the glory of God came as a thunder and lightning. I hope you don't say that I speak like a thunder because I speak so loud today. The glory of God in the Old Testament came as a cloud. Remember the pillar of cloud? The pillar of fire? Remember also during the dedication of the temple by Solomon? The glory of God came upon the people, came on the place. They couldn't see anything because the glory of God there, because it came as a cloud. Sometimes it came as a dew on the clothes. Sometimes it came, remember the people praying earnestly on the upper room in Jerusalem? It came as a mighty rushing wind. And also it came as a manna for 40 years, faithfully coming every morning. That's the manifestation of the glory of God to the people that he chose and he loved. Came as manna, giving them provision from heavens for 4 years without failure, every day except Saturday. So Friday had to gather double portion, because Saturday not allowed for them to gather any, because no manna came on Saturday. There are so many accounts also in the New Testament of the glory of God, or also in the Old Testament about the glory of God. Sometimes people encounter angelic meeting or angelic encounters. You remember also even the water in Bethesda. It can heal the sick people. You remember also when the people in Cana, like wine, water transformed into heavenly wine. Glory of God is manifested also in financial miracles. It is released unexpectedly. If you don't believe that, check Matthew 17:27. Those of you, including me, who need financial release, you better believe that. As one of the manifestations that the glory of God is present in our life. So should you, this is the question, should you expect anything different today? We have to expect the same thing, because the Bible says, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus is ever the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So let me end by saying again the Westminster Catechism. How do I live for God's glory? Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. You ask me how to enjoy life? The answer is enjoy God. And then you'll enjoy life. You will live in that glory. All praise to God. Let us pray. Father God, I thank you for the message that you have given us today. You destined us to live in the glory. And this is the prayer of Jesus Christ, that the glory, God the Father, that you have given to Jesus is the same glory that he'd like us to live in our life here on earth now. You have given man the complete faculties to express your glory. Even though nature can declare your glory, but you have chosen man as the main agent to express your glory, because man is created in your own image. In fact, God, man is your glory, because we are created in your image to manifest your glory. May we understand today that our life is for you to declare your glory all the days of our life. In your name we pray. And all God's people say, amen, amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Testing, testing. So we're going to have some chili. Amen. So you can, everyone's welcome to stay. We're just going to, I was going to call up the leaders and stuff just to show you, you know who the leaders are at Potter's Hand. But we'll save that for next Sunday. Amen. And so just continue to pray for the plans and purposes of the living God for Potter's Hands. Amen. So I'm just going to bless the food and dismiss.